The 2016 Twilight Concert Series is here. Shows start July 21st and run every Thursday through September 1st. Tickets are $5 in advance or $10 day of show, so get your tickets early. Visit twilightconcerts.com for more information.
Salt Lake Underground.
You are listening to Slug Sound Waves.
My name is Brett Barrett. I do vocals in Despite Despair.
My name is Kai. I play bass in Despite Despair.
We do have other people in the band. We have Nick Karchner, who plays drums, Derek Ballard, who plays guitar, and we have McLean, he goes by Mac Lewis, who also plays guitar.
Mac Daddy.
Despite Despair has meant and will always mean something to me. The band actually formed in 2008 with me and the original drummer, Trevor Espinoza. I recorded our first demo. I knew nothing about recording. I did it on Cubase in my friend's basement. Like, I knew nothing about recording. And it was just a, don't think about it, just do it. We need to have something out. Trevor and our original vocalist, Michael Gilchrist, they both play drums, so they would switch vocals and drums. We were playing in local bands, and then we saw Parallax, and then we saw Rail Spike, and we saw these like very aggressive hardcore metal bands. I'll never forget when I saw Rail Spike in 2006 for the first time. They played a 666 show. It was June 6, 2006. I had never listened to heavy music before then. So I got into heavy music through the local scene. Parallax and Rail Spike were it. The Banner was incredibly influential, even though like we mostly just listened to Minor Threat and Black Flag and Misfits religiously for years.
What stands out about those bands in that period of time is we have these dudes playing super heavy technical music, but still, like, every lyric sheet has something incredibly important to say. Everyone at the shows had a great message. Yeah, it was really aggressive, ignorant-sounding music, but it was still people who are trying to make the world a better place, trying to address really complicated issues, issues like sexism, issues like homophobia, especially in Utah County. Issues like rape culture, things of that nature, veganism, counterculture politics.
Straight edge. And coming from such a conservative background, at least in Orem, we thought that that was our whole world. When we first discovered the Provo scene, Provo was so open-minded and creative.
Growing up and going to hardcore shows, moshing is really cool. Running around in a circle pit is really cool. There was nothing better for a 14-year-old fat kid me to do than hit against a wall.
We were incredibly influenced by Parallax, particularly. We got our name from Parallax. One of the last creative works that Blake Donner did was their song Dent, where he says, "Despite despair, I stay inspired. I have every reason not to give in." And that was everything for us. He did an interview with Greg Benick, another incredibly inspiring person to us, where Blake says, "I don't just scream as some stylish thing, some stylish motive, some kitsch, meaningless thing. I scream because the words that I say, I actually believe that they should have meaning and they should carry force. The words are weapons." Creatively, we were playing these very technical parts, and it was just kind of us trying to get our feet wet. We were always the Foulards, is what they called us. We were like 14, 15. And at least with Trevor and I, they would always say, "It is up to you guys to carry the torch for Provo Hardcore."
And in 2012, what had happened was there had been personal issues like every band. We ended up breaking up.
That whole breaking up was a massive catalyst for exactly what we wanted to do.
That gave us both time to play in other projects, make some new friends, reconnect with old friends, hone our own creative visions, learn how to work on our music better.
For us, it was really kind of a coming into our own. Creatively, I was just in a very, very dark place in 2012. My sister had a miscarriage. My parents got divorced. I had to drop out of school because I couldn't afford it. I was 22 and I realized that the world, Kai put it this way, he said, the world in which we're living in is not what we were growing up expecting it to be. And that was just catastrophic for me. It was catastrophic that for years we had talked about being that band to carry the torch and we just fell into obscurity and no one really gave a shit. With growing up, there's this constant growth. Like Nietzsche says, youth is plagued by all sorts of disappointment. And that was something that crushed me, understanding that theoretically reading Nietzsche, but also something that I was living.
From 18 to 21, people can change so dramatically, as evidenced by what we witnessed. I mean, looking back, it wasn't too crazy, but it just felt really crazy at the time.
Doing the record was an escape. I just didn't give a shit anymore. I didn't want to write songs that took us 6 months to write. Creatively and thematically, Kai and I would just talk and talk and talk. We were both doing a lot of activist organizing at the time. We were trying to reconcile doing politics and something artistic, but we had nothing. We lost our drummer. We lost a lot of our close friends. You know, most of them, we've been able to have some sense of closure, which is amazing. We were a really positive band before. And this upcoming record is one of the most bitter, emotionally naked, and honest things I've ever done.
The attitude we had about it was, we've spent so many years playing really complicated, hard-to-play songs. What we're going to do is try to take a step back and make something more cohesive. And rather than have 5 or 6 really complicated songs, have 10 or 12 half-complicated songs. Most of the recording we did, as far as the demo tracks go, probably happened between the hours of 1 and 3 in the morning. Brett would spend a lot more time dialing in tones and getting skeletons together, and then I'd come in and tell him what I thought. We'd haul once a week, we'd haul the drums from Provo to Salt Lake, and Brett would take hours setting them up in the hot front room of the Loom House. It was recorded in basements, in garages, and with maybe a dozen of our closest friends. It was a great opportunity for us to do something we loved with people we loved who also loved doing those things.
Without Randy Cordner, the record would not have happened because he believed in us. I became the drummer I am now because I did that record. And I didn't believe that I could do it until Randy was there with me, hustling me through every take.
Randy helped John Ross Boyce from the Troubles. Had our friend Ryan, our friend Derek, the old vocalist Jake, come in and do, and Nate as well from Temples, come in and do guest vocals. And it wasn't glorious. All the basements were smelly. All the garages were dirty. But it was awesome.
It was a 2-year process. I mean, we sat on the record. We were actually going to call the band Geist because a lot of the shit that we were going through at the time. We just wanted to make a hardcore record with this one. Like, straightforward and honest and pissed off and angry as fuck. We thought that existentialism without politics was bourgeois nihilism.
And mostly I think it's because we can't compete with Code Orange.
Thematically, I suppose, if you wanted kind of a general overview, there would be themes like politics, witchcraft, and mental illness. Existentialism that doesn't succumb to just boring, give up, I'm privileged enough to have my nihilism and not keep fighting. So again, all of these kinds of, like, yes, the world is hard, but despite despair, I stay inspired. But seriously.
Just yesterday we played Crucial Fest number 6 at the Art Garden, the AFLA Art Garden.
We just wanted to go fucking nuts. And it's like all or none for us, like every single time. I want to give everything. I want to sacrifice my body for that moment because that is the closest thing that I have to a religious experience. It's my out. It's my therapy. It's my escape.
It was great fun, and people like received us really well.
Yeah, we both woke up with massive head bangovers. We just wanted to give Jerem and Tiffany a shout-out and just thank them so much for letting us play. It was kind of last minute. We took, speaking of old bandmates, we took former Tides' spot on the bill, and they were very kind to ask us. So thank you to them. Thank you to Jerem and Tiffany, because I think doing something like that, it just takes incredible work.
We started with a new incarnation earlier this year with, again, Nick, Mac, and Derek. We've been friends with Derek for a long time. We played in a band called Gunner and a band called Still See. It's been really cool playing shows, and I think as far as the Crucial Fest show, like, it wouldn't have been nearly as awesome without those dudes.
I showed my mother, my lovely conservative Mormon mother, and she said, "Beecher, this is not you. This is not your voice. You are nicer than this." "Beach, is this your voice?" Like, "Yeah, Mom, I played guitar and did vocals and played drums. I did a lot on this record." She's like, "Well, I'm proud of you, but I don't like this music." So we've been sitting on the record for 2 years. We released a single just the day before Crucial Fest. It was really well received.
The nice thing about that song is it's super simple and really percussive.
The lyrics from other people is in reference to Jean-Paul Sartre's famous line from Nausea, where he says, "Hell is other people." It's a very bitter song. It's a very jaded song. And it's a really straightforward song. It's not disguised in poetic metaphors. It's very straightforward. And it's exactly how I was feeling. But it's still a fighting song. It's still like, yes, I'm feeling this way, but I'm not going to give up. What are we doing to not succumb to defeat? The lyrics are, "Someone's head is always on the chopping block. A multitude of interpretations. Let's start a band so we can all up hating each other. So fate can lock me into jaded adulthood. So power will continue when we stay shackled. Let's make perfect strangers. So marriage can leave me divorced and alone. So porn can leave me sexless. So drugs can leave me dumb, broken, alone. And the anxiety and the idiocy are assumed in an endless separation of people and experiences." And then it ends with this kind of conclusive, "But still, this city won't swallow me."
The lyric that stands out to me is, "Start a band so we can grow up hating each other."
So we're definitely going to release it on CDR, digital, and cassette, frankly, because we can afford that. And then we have a couple of people we're looking at and have talked to us about a vinyl release. Release dates, we're looking towards the end of summer, beginning of fall. We want to get it out as soon as possible because it's been done for a long time, and we're so excited and so anxious to get out and tour. Hoping for a West Coast tour in October, and then we'll write another record, and then we'll tour in the spring. DespiteDespair.bandcamp.com is where you can find all of our music. We'll have the single up there. We'll be putting the record up. Our next show is July 3rd with Hardcore Heavyweights Go Deep. They just put out an awesome video y'all should check out. We're going to play with them at Beehive Social Club again on July 3rd. Show starts at 7 or 8, I don't know, hardcore time. Bring some money for the touring bands.
Beehive Social Club is the old Bar Deluxe, 666 South State Street.
Say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We're Despite Despair. Check us out on Bandcamp. Look out for the new shows and the new record.
The week's best geek news and all the topics you crave. All girl, all geek, all the time. Hello, Sweetie Podcast.